from Genesis all the way in Revelation, we see again now Christ is standing at our doors and say, will you allow me in? And we read the following, and I love this. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and him with me, or he with me. And so maybe the Lord is standing at the door of Shofar Table View knocking. And say, Shofar Table View, will you let me in? Will you let me in so that I can love on this community? Will you let me in so that I can save the lost? Will you let me in so that I can grow you in community, grow you in the Word, grow you in discipleship? Maybe he's afresh standing at our door prophetically and saying, will you allow me in so that we can have that breakthrough and that all that good stuff of the promised land that we want, so desperately want. But as I said, it happens where? With hearts open. When we allow him in, as George said, when we allow him to process the things in our hearts. And guess what? As I said last week, but I want to implore you, revival that we want to see, redemption that we want to see is not only. In fact, maybe even a very small part of that is going to happen on a Sunday. It's going to happen in your bucky. It's going to happen in your car. It's going to happen next to the bride. It's going to happen in your kitchen. It's going to happen where you connect with people and open up your life. Who's excited about that? Great. Kan nie wag om jou deur af te klop nie. So what is hospitality? Hospitality is the following thing. It is friendly and generous reception, and I said it's not entertainment. But it's sharing Jesus with guests, visitors, and strangers. I just went and changed the Google definition. I'm sure you're fine with that. But it's sharing Jesus with other people. That is what true hospitality is. Who's ever had people over and you feel like you need to entertain them? But who likes that good friends that really knows you, that knows you inside out, and they can just come in? They can grab something to eat for themselves for now, and they can grab something to drink, and they know your place. And that is totally different. And so I believe the Lord is saying, hey, I don't want you to be a church that entertains strangers. I don't want you to be a people that open up the door and entertain people. I'm not saying be rude. Like, have the knickknacks there, the nice ones. But allow people into an authentic relational place and space, and not one of entertainment. It's all of those other beautiful words that you see there that needs to convict us. And then we look at the Greek, we looked at it, but there's just an emphasis that we need to place here. I went to write down it in a phonetical way. Viloxenos is that word. And you might ask, why am I referring to the Greek again? But it's important here that philo is what? Who knows what philo means? What? Brotherly love. Philio is love. It's one of the definitions of love. What is xenos in this case? Anybody? What is xenos? Come on. How's your Greek for crying in a bucket? This is the church of God. What is xenos? You can figure it out by looking at the board. What is it? Strangers, yes, hallelujah. Yes, ek het nie gou is daar nie, maar dankie. Xenos is strangers. But there's a reason I'm hammering on this. Because Zeno is something that I've heard in my culture. That's something I've heard in South Africa. Where have you heard Zeno? Xenophobia, yes. Xenophobia, the fear or the hatred of strangers, of foreigners. And this is very applicable, in other words, in our culture. That God speaks to his church of the day and says, filio, strangers. Love, strangers. This is what hospitality, this is what gospel hospitality is. Love, strangers. Where the culture of the day says, be careful of, divide, push away strangers. I'm not saying you need to excuse every single thing that somebody else does, but I need to just implore us to be careful and say, Lord, give us this deeper filial love for Xenos, that I can truly be hospitable towards strangers, so that we don't find ourselves in this fleshly cultural place where we shun, exclude, or resist that which is strange to us. And it's not somebody It can be somebody from a foreign country, obviously. But it's somebody that's just different. You get Afrikaans people, and then you get Afrikaans people. You get English people, and then you get English people. You get Kaapenaars, and then you get Kaapenaars, and you get Pretoriaaners, and then you get Pretoriaaners. Ak en ek. You see, there's so many of these things, and then you can look at it culturally, you can look language, race, you can look at these things, but as we just are honest in our hearts, how many of these people am I throwing the doors open to? And am I willing if the God says, I would love this foreigner, this stranger to be filioed through you? Anybody wants to filio strangers? Like, ons al want. Here ons het werk om te doen. I believe we are called to be an opposite voice. The church of God needs to be an opposite voice in the time. I'm not talking politics, so please do not hear what I'm not saying. I'm not getting into politics. I'm talking about the love and the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not just having a kerk braai. I'm really looking forward to the camp, by the way. But this is more just going camping as well. May the grace of the Lord, that real love of Christ that transcends barriers, be in our hearts. Amen. So last week, I said we need to trust God for radical hospitality because it establishes three things, and we didn't go into it. This week, we'll cover two. Radical hospitality establishes community, discipleship, and evangelism. And whenever we look at these things, some of the left-brain people will think, oh man, I'm not doing something. But every single aspect that we are focusing on has both sides. For you are guests. You are all guests. But you also need to allow in, because we are all hosts as well. So whenever you test your own life and allow the Word and the Spirit to convict and help you, please don't fall on the one side thinking, man, I should do more. And also not victim on the other side. People should invite me more. Say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? For I am both guest and I am both host as a child of God. Amen? You might say, but I do not even have a bride. Well, that you need prayer for. But as for the rest, God is gracious. I'm joking. You don't have to have a braai. As jy 'n snack met jy red, ons kan 'n plan maak. Ek was ook 'n student. Here's the thing. Whatever you have or don't have, you have a heart that has Jesus in. You have a mouth and you have the grace that you have breath in your lungs. And I'm sure you've got something to give and to share and to reach out to somebody else with. I'm not saying, please, you need to invite the whole church for a braai, even though it might be nice. But ultimately, I believe hospitality is a much deeper thing than we might have thought, because it builds community, discipleship, and evangelism, and that is in fact what the enemy doesn't like. Amen. So let's jump into community. Where and how have you been blessed by community? Anybody? Shoot. Skit met the titel. Anybody? Where have you been blessed by George? Cell group. Yes, absolutely. In small group, he's been blessed by community. Anybody else? Where have you been practically blessed by community? Spiritually. A sister invited herself for lunch. You were blessed by that. Boy, you're such a spiritual person. Well done. I love that. Setting the bar nice and high like Jesus. If you think of murder, you've come. Thank you so much for that one. But amen. I hear you. The sister invited her for lunch and it blessed you. Yes. Yes, but that's beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely. Jamari. The straat mense wat maandag aan die kos kry, the street people that receives food on a Monday, that is a place where community is blessed. Where else have community blessed you? Anybody? Yes, Maxine. The friends that you make at work, absolutely. Anybody else? Dinners when you get babies. Yes. If you want free dinners in church life, get babies. Amen? You want to be sorted for dinner for a couple of nights? Have one. We need to grow the church naturally. Anyway. Anybody else? Where have you been blessed, Dominique? Every time somebody that is not in the mall or on the street, but in church, Prokereersweekie, takes Olivia out of her hands. Yes, be careful. Any last chance? Anybody? People that pray for you. Hallelujah. Anybody else? When you had surgery, people take... And this can go even deeper to those places which is not easy, but where people saw. People noted you and you were not alone. And I believe community is so important, but without true hospitality, we cannot strengthen community. I think we're a church that, by the grace of God, there's a fair amount of community. But I think, like with anything in our Christian walks, we can still grow a fair amount. I had a look at Edna's notes of 2019 again, where she did a brilliant message on this. And this particular one stood out for me along with what we discussed on belonging last year. But people long to belong. We don't want to acknowledge that. No, no, no. Like, why are people in biker gangs? Why are people in gangs, per se? Why do we form gangs? Why do people go to the rugby club, the rollball club, the RCFFA, the tafel tennis club, the whatever else, fishing club out there? But people have this longing to belong. Do you have a longing to belong? Anybody? As I said before, if you think you do not have a longing to belong, you're lying to yourself. Or maybe you just have gotten so hurt that you have maybe rejected some of the grace that God wants to give you. Psalm 68 verse 6 says, God sets the lonely in families. God sets the lonely in families. Bit of fuller context here. God, in His holy dwelling, is a father of the fatherless and a champion of widows. That is our heart. That is the heart of our God. Again, coming back to Christ showing us God, this is another one of His characteristics. A father of the fatherless, a champion of widows. God provides homes for those who are deserted. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in a scorched land. And then another translation there, God causes the lonely to dwell in families. And the Message translation says, God makes homes for the homeless. This obviously a practical one, but then also spiritually and emotionally. Because guess what? If we look at Israel coming through the desert, they longed for a home. They were slaves, but they didn't have a home. And God said, come follow me. I will again be hospitable. I will go and prepare a promised land for you. I will take you through that process we heard earlier, and then I'll take you to a promised land that you can call home. There's going to be a couple of giants in your new home. But yeah, I don't know if you've got cockroaches or anything alike at home, but they had a fair amount of things that they needed to take care of. But here's the thing of life. We all seek home. We all long for home. Anybody long for home? This might be a very deep question to some. What is home? Home is a place where what? I want you to know, where you can be yourself. Home is a place where you can be yourself. What else is home? Safety. Sorry? It's where you belong. Yeah, what else? Where you feel safe, yes. Here's the thing. None of us are home yet. None of us are truly home yet. There's one that have gone before us and He's preparing a room for us. My Father's house have many rooms and I go there to prepare. I don't care how nice a mansion you buy. I don't care how cool your caravan or camping gear is. You are not home yet. As believers, we always have this yearning. You might have it nice and flash in the natural, or you might not. But here's the thing, we are all pilgrims on a journey. We are all pilgrims. And yes, we've got temporary residence. We've got temporary places where we can put down our heads. But that longing, that tugging for getting home one day will still remain. And that's okay. That's a divine tension that we need to deal with. There's no cool kitchen. There's no lekker braai that will just hit the spot that you're, now I'm home. One day when we stand there, then we'll know that we are home. But until then, we have temporary places that we can open up that somebody maybe can taste some of that home that we're longing for here on earth. Church should be one of those. Big words, I know. It's not easy. my home. I want someone to taste something of what we're actually longing for. The home to come, the community to come. The one that will be truly safe. That for the first time I will know who I am and I will be seen for who I really am. That I will truly come to rest where sin and tears and brokenness has truly been redeemed fully. I'm longing for that home, but until then, I want us to be a people that have a taste of that when we get together. Amen? I'm quite excited about that. For God is a God that makes homes for us. Maybe a bit of a deep one or challenging one quickly, but the second thing I mentioned is modern Western philosophy has very much changed our thinking when it comes to family, belonging, and home. And so there's a very much an anti-belonging, anti-authoritarian, anti-community mindset that is entrenched, I don't want to say ours, but in the Western culture. I'm doing my own thing. Who's ever thought, mind your own business? Anybody? Who's ever received a WhatsApp from me? So you can put up your hand. Sorry. I'll repent later. But here's the thing. We really have a culture in our Western civilization where it's like, mind your own business. I'll show off my life on Facebook, which I would like to do, or on Instagram. But as for the rest, you've got nowhere and no way in asking me about my business. That is not the kingdom of God. We have lost that right, by the way. That is not how the family of God operates. That is, in fact, how the world operates. And so you'll see there and go, please go read up about it. I'm by no stretch of the imagination a scholar of the Enlightenment. But in the 17th and 18th century, the guy started to fiddle around with these ideas, emphasizing reason, individualism, and skepticism. Value human happiness and individual liberty. And most of my flags will go up, but that sounds correct. That sounds so normal. And not all of it might have been downright off. But here's the thing, we've lost so much of the sacredness of God being God and us being community and family. Some of that was definitely not birthed from the tree of life, which is Jesus, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So it seems to be good to me, and as I judge this, this is good and this is bad. And so they just kept on eating of the tree that is not of God. And so each one must work out his own salvation with fear and trembling, get into the Word. But there was something that crept into, through Europe, into the Americas, crept into our Western civilization. And at the end of the day, it started deism, which means that God is somewhere out there. There is a God, but He's just made everything and He lets it go its natural course. He's not touching on the life here on earth. He's got no connection with us. And in fact, they were totally against the supernatural as well, saying that it is just superstitious things. And see, you might think, well, I'm in church and I believe in the supernatural. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But there's this thing of me, myself, and I that crept in that I don't believe is a biblical picture. That is contrary to hospitality and is contrary to real community and is contrary to the body. Because we would love to stick an Acts 2 sticker on anything. But if we truly go see how they lived and what they did, we see that it was not so much me, myself, and I as we would like to believe. So living for myself and my own happiness. And then in fact saying truth is this relative thing that I can make up. And You don't dare to put your nose in my business and tell me who I am and what I am. And so all of that might sound very normal to us because we've been bombarded by this nonsense through a couple of ages. But the Lord maybe calls us back to the Scriptures. And He calls us back to His Spirit. And then we need to allow Him and say, Lord, please help me where my, like Joyce Meyer says, where I've got stinking thinking. Lord, where do I have stinking thinking about who I am and how I see life and community, your church and the body? Because you see, the kingdom is not a kingdom of self. Who's excited now? The kingdom is not a kingdom of self. The kingdom is not a kingdom of me, myself, and I. As I'm preaching this, I'm not saying, hey, Retief, he's getting this right. I am not saying that. Even this afternoon, we had a issue at home, and I got the two eldest girls there, and it was this, that, and the other. And Sophia said, but maybe we should get more rules for our rooms. And I'm like, have you not learned that rules does not simply sort out the problem? In the Old Testament, and I explained to her, and I won't go into all the details with you, but they had all the rules, but they couldn't keep to it. And she's immediately, I can see her, but Dad, you're not keeping to all the rules. And I'm like, and I can't keep to the rules. And all of a sudden, she's like, yeah. And she's got peace. That's why I'm saying, go to your rooms, and then you say, Jesus, help me. Because I'm the biggest sinner of them all. I break all the rules. More rules will not help me. I need more of the grace of Jesus. And all of a sudden, the light started to go on there. And so in that place, truth could come. And likewise, I want you to, whatever you think about who you are and how you can run your own life and decide for yourself, I'm just saying, be very careful, for that might not be the kingdom of God. That might not be the Spirit of God whispering to you. That might not be Jesus with a capital letter that is Christ and Lord over your heart and life. Be careful, because this is what I read in Matthew 22. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The law is perfected, why and how? Loving God fully, wholly, and also loving others as I love myself. It is not in that I decide my own reality, I decide over my life, and I'm king over my own little miss whip. No, it is saying that I'm a child of God, and I'm called sheep. Who likes to be called sheep? Not cheap, sheep. Who likes to be called sheep? I don't like to be called cheap either, but we are sheep and we are children. I speak to your heart and I speak to your soul, man, for we are sheep and we are children. We need to be careful when we become too high and too lofty, like the people of the Enlightenment, thinking that we are so Olic. No, we need to maybe sometimes just come down in humility and say, Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Help me to think, help me to live, and then help me to love. For Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What do I read there? Me, myself, and I, the self needs to be crucified. Who loves to crucify the self? It is tough. It's really not easy. I find it very tough to crucify the self. I find it hard in marriage. I find it hard with fathering. I find it hard in relationship. I find it hard in community to crucify the self. I find it hard. And I guess you might as well. But guess what? We are called to crucify the self. For we are sheep and we are children. Amen. The church should be the antidote for this isolation and selfish living that we see around us. This series, I thought, nice, Lord, maybe a bit of balloons and knickknacks, but this series is just convicting my heart. The other night, I was walking up and down in our house, and we're thankful for our house. And the Lord said, remember, it's a donkey. Lord, he said, it's a donkey. What is a donkey? A prized horse might be valued and almost worshipped, but a donkey is something to be used. And in fact, Christ, my king, came upon a donkey and he said, hey, your place needs to be a donkey, something that is used, something that works for the kingdom, that something that ushers in the king into lives. Now, my donkey is my house. It might be your talent. It might be your guitar. Thank you for sharing your donkey with us today. But what do you have that stays a donkey that will usher in the king for other people in hospitality? As hospitality, tality, Jesus, in hospitality and community. So the Lord needs us to help us think. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the Enlightenment people, the philosophers, think they were so smart, but yet he calls us as disciples, as children of God, as sheep, as people of God. He says, come and renew your mind. Do not think the way that your culture is thinking. Do not look like them. Do not operate like them. And what you have, use it like I call you to use it. Open up your life as I show you how to open up your life. Because here's the thing, we need to think biblically, for then we will have true community. Diabia is such, you all know Diabia. He's such a challenge to me. But Diabia and them lives in a house with 8 or 9 rooms in a community house, which is very normal biblically, but culturally might freak some people out. Who would love to live in a community house? George versus Tish. But here's the thing. If we scripturally look at it, there's a fair amount of godliness in there. But I'm thinking I need to share a bride, Jesus. And they might use charcoal and not wood. We're going to have a problem. Jokes aside, but it's a much deeper thing. It's just, am I willing? God is not calling you all to get into a home like we see Deby and his family doing, because we also see that it's not easy. But he's maybe challenging some of our thoughts and say, are you willing to allow my word to challenge your thinking and your way of doing community? Because here's the thing, we need a cultural change. It's not a feel-good message of conformity. Yes, I'm gonna high-five somebody, I'm gonna invite them for coffee, WhatsApp somebody else, community sorted. No, we need transformation. I need transformation. Will my house be a donkey that will carry Jesus? Will my finance be a donkey that will carry Jesus? Will my future plans be a mere donkey that it can carry Christ for other people? Am I really living for myself, or am I living for God? I've got a couple of testimonies, don't have the time, but you can't have community without accountability, real authority, and the community that leads to life. And these are tough topics, I know, but it is just going back to the Word and saying, Lord, help us to be a true community. Lord, help us to be truly hospitable. And Lord, help us to let each other into our lives. Help us to speak into one another's lives. Please don't hear me saying that you need to open up to everybody. You need to, every Joe Soap can now speak over you, prophesy over you, and have authority over your life. I am not saying that. It's like not giving Olivia to anybody, but there's a certain amount of people that you are willing to entrust, because there's relational capital, there is love, and there is real trust. When I really struggle with something, I've lost my temper, or there's a temptation that is trying to grip my heart, I get onto the phone with Pietri or with Hein, and I say, Hein, Pietri, please pray for me. It's a humbling place. It's a humbling place. I've just lost my cool on the road. I am actually accountable about those things now and again. But I really lost my cool now on the road. That was not Christ-like. What happens now? I want to change. I need community. I need community, and I need more of Jesus, and I cannot do it on my own. Pietri, please pray for me, because the enemy is at my door. The enemy is at my door and is trying to destroy me. Pray for me. That is community. Community is not a long table only. It is also when Ross speaks to me as my regional leader, saying, hey man, I think you need to challenge yourself in this particular area, because you're not allowing this to go, that I would hear him, because God has graced him to do so. That is community. It's not always easy, but we need a cultural change. Going on, his kingdom, or this church and his kingdom, is different. It is different than the world. If we're looking like the world, I need to ask myself and check that I'm not having a bit of a problem, because we need to look so much different than the world. Romans 12:13 says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Always be eager to open up, sacrifice, give of yourself, and not just think of oneself. Going back to the Acts church, Acts 2:46-47. Let's quickly read there. So continuing daily with one accord, that's unity, in the temple, that's the church in our days, and breaking bread from house to house, that's our homes. Say, our homes. Not only the small group leaders' homes, our homes. Breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, there's lots of good stuff in there. There's lots of good stuff in there. But do you know what I like? Simplicity of heart. Simplicity of heart. When I read that way back, that leaped at me and I'm like, I want that. Simplicity of heart. They broke their bread from house to house. They had this fellowship. They did life with simplicity of heart. If you go look at the definition there of simplicity, it also means singleness. That does not mean they were not married, didn't have kids, but they were single-minded. There was a unity. Simplicity and unity. And what else do we see there? Humility. If I want to see more donkey, hospitable donkey in my life, I need to make sure that my life is simple enough, that there's a simplicity and a humility and maybe even a oneness in my life. I'm not saying that we can turn around the ship, we can turn around our lives or respective schedules like this. I'm just saying the Word shows us a picture. And we might be running on and the Lord might be saying, hey, I want you to, in simplicity, stop, come back so that you can have the good quality community, good quality connection and hospitality that I want for you. Maybe I should quickly pose this question to you. How would you simplify so that we can grow in community and hospitality? Just quickly, anybody, how can you simplify? I don't have time to explain better, but I'll try. How can I simplify my life so that I can have what they had? In humility, in oneness, in simplicity, they broke bread and they spent time together. How can my life, I can use a couple of examples of guys here that I'm trying to have a coffee with, and everybody is just so darn busy. There's people that we've tried to eat with and bribe with, and it's like a 3-month schedule ahead, which just tells me that I need to simplify so that I can get to what I say is valuable. Does that make sense? How would you simplify? Entertain simpler? We don't want to entertain, but I hear you. Anybody else? How do you simplify? Great. Do what Albert does. He invites people even though we don't have the capacity. Yes. Afterwards, apparently nobody's dying. Everybody's living. Sharon. You don't have to sprinkle in your house. Amen. Amen. How do we simplify in a culture that we live in? Firstly, we fight the me, myself, and I. We crucify the self. We see what the Word says. But then there's a very practical thing of struggling to build community in a Western culture where everybody's busy. And yet Acts had an amazing time. And we're like, something changed. And it's not just the internet. More spur of the moment. Or moment at spur or spur of the moment? Both. Both. Tia. Leave space in my calendar. We're going to look at that next week. I believe it needs to be planned as well. It needs to be planned. Prioritized. We value what we actually do value. Oh, I love the Lord's church. Yeah, really? When can we connect? How can we grow together? And I'm speaking to myself because it's a challenge. We had a whole day. Everybody was canceled today, stepping on each other's toes, freaking out at home. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Whoa, what's happened? It comes at a price, but I'm just saying, I read there's a simplicity, a humility of how they did life, and also I believe in that might be a key. Because you see, there was maybe a contentment, and maybe another question, when is enough enough? Because if I have time in my calendar, do I want to make more money? Do I want to have a new